Throughout the year, UW-Milwaukee's Institute of World Affairs hosts a series of lectures that pair national and sometimes international guests with Wisconsin-based experts to explore issues facing Milwaukee and the world. Last week, the series examined energy policy and the environment.
Alex Bosmoski approaches the issues from his vantage point with a conservative D.C. think tank called Republic-N. Michael Vickerman's perspective is steeped in his long program policy career with the Madison-based renewable energy advocacy group Renew Wisconsin.
Lake Effect Susan Bentz sat down with them while they were in town. Alex Bosmoski started by saying he wants the U.S. Congress to come up with an aggressive climate policy.
America's never really had a coherent climate change policy. We failed to pass legislation to act on climate, so the courts ordered the administration to use old laws from the 1990s to protect Americans from the health and environmental impacts of climate change by regulating greenhouse gas emissions. So the Obama administration followed through on that Supreme Court ruling and promulgated a rule called the Clean Power Plan, which attempted to ratchet down emissions from power plants across the country, which account for about 30% of our emissions. So at best, it was a very incomplete climate change policy. Conservatives pointed to that policy as the primary reason for the loss of coal jobs and other manufacturing jobs in America, which turned the EPA into a boogeyman. And it puts the Republicans in an awkward position because they are supposed to remove the EPA's authority or otherwise mothball the Clean Power Plan, and they've been telling voters that's going to bring back coal jobs. It won't, because coal jobs went away because of natural gas. The low price of natural gas has simply outcompeted coal. So Republicans are going to be in a very awkward position, removing or mothballing the Clean Power Plan, not having a replacement for climate change action, and also not having a real solution for those working families that have seen their economies in shambles as the coal industry has declined to natural gas. The real peril and opportunity is what conservatives will do for the replacement to the Clean Power Plan. Are conservatives content to mothball it and not offer America a replacement solution? Or will we step up, revamp conservatism for the 21st century, and offer this country a free enterprise solution to climate change that works better than the regulatory solutions from the left?
So what is the free enterprise solution?
I think it's a carbon tax, a well-designed carbon tax. Regulation and a carbon tax both make it more expensive to pollute. But regulation has no authority over China, India, Brazil, Mexico, so it raises the cost of compliance in America, and that causes us to ship jobs and emissions overseas. It also only applies to a small set of the economy. A carbon tax would send a price signal through the whole economy, stoke private sector innovation and clean energy, and it raises revenue, which we can put to use to streamline the tax code, invest in infrastructure, or return dividend checks to Americans. It's a much more elegant, effective pro-growth and small government policy than regulation, but conservatives have been hesitant to offer it because of the controversy and the on the base about the merits of climate change science. We got to get over that. The country has gotten over that. And it's time for conservatives to espouse a true free enterprise solution, to say to the country, our small government principles can rise to the challenge of 21st century problems.
So Michael Vickerman with Renew Wisconsin, what do you make of what your colleague has to say?
Well, first of all, I'm heartened to hear Republicans and right-leaning spokespeople and thinkers have a serious conversation, an adult conversation about climate change and energy policy. I'd have to point out that for now, at least, regulation of power plants, and power plants are the largest single source of CO2, at least in the United States, contributing more than a third of total greenhouse gas emissions. But that regulatory authority has been delegated to the states by and large. There are basically 50 different electricity markets out there, or monopoly markets, depending on how the state has decided to organize the electricity marketplace. I do agree with Alex that a carbon tax would actually result in changes beyond just simply the provision of electricity. It would definitely affect transportation, and it would affect the heating and cooling of buildings, and that's important. So I think it's a serious proposal worth looking at, though. Our organization has not taken a position on carbon taxes or carbon fee and dividend. We would like to at some point, but one of the reasons why we haven't is that we are skeptical that in the current political climate that such a significant policy change would be would fundamentally restructure the energy marketplace. That it would be possible for a Congress and a presidential administration to agree to that, especially considering the power and the money of certain interests arrayed against something like that. So I'd like to know what would give you optimism for thinking that such a policy could actually happen in this country and in the next 4 years?
I choose to be optimistic. And there's one reason to be optimistic is that every meaningful piece of environmental legislation passed in this republic has occurred during Republican presidential administrations. Another reason to be optimistic is that Congress is run by conservatives, and conservatives in Congress report to their conservative constituents. And the vast majority of especially young conservatives care deeply about the climate, care deeply about dealing with climate change. A majority of conservatives also care about dealing with climate change. And the biggest impediment to encouraging leadership from Congress is that a small minority on the fringe get really frothed up about anything to do with climate change. And a large part, that's because all they've heard for the last generation is a big government solution, a centralizing force, as the only answer to climate change. So obviously, if you tell your doctor you have a back problem and he tells you that the solution is to remove your head, work on your spine, and put your head back on, you're going to quickly say that you don't have a back problem. And that's the easiest coping mechanism for dealing with climate change if your worldview is opposed to a centralized bureaucracy regulating our lives, then you might see the policies to deal with climate change as anathema to your worldview, and therefore you might not even want to consider the issue. But the reason to be optimistic is that conservatives do care, especially young conservatives, moms, millennials, and minorities care deeply. All those groups are being hemorrhaged from the base of the Republican Party, and they need to get them back to have sustainable electoral prospects. So here's the reason I'm optimistic, in a nutshell, because constituents matter and constituents care. And this is why we're at RepublicEN.org, we are solely focused on enrolling and empowering conservative voices around the country to educate Congress about free enterprise solutions to climate change. That we don't have to be the losers on this. The environmental left has had a monopoly on America's environmental conscience for a generation. And we should take it back. That conservatives should offer the country a sustainable or a pro-growth vision for our American energy and environmental leadership around the world. I think this election really showed us that Americans are distrustful of government and alienated from the big institutions that we used to set up to solve social problems. The ossified institutions of the New Deal and the Great Society. And the left has tried to fit climate change, this collective action problem, into that old mode of setting up a big institution and empowering technocrats to administer rules in the best interest of Americans. We no longer trust those institutions to make rules in the best interest of Americans. So conservatives need to show the country that we can deal with climate change without massive institutions deciding things for us. The government can set the rules of the road, put the price on pollution so that companies aren't allowed to socialize their costs across unconsenting individuals, and achieve a truly free enterprise market with a level playing field. And if we did that, then not only do conservatives win the gold medal for leading the world in a climate solution, but we also can clean up Washington, or drain the swamp, if you will, of a lot of government programs and power that has been accreted over the years and not used effectively for the mitigation of climate change.
So, Michael, how much of what Alex has said can you live with, do you think could work? And again, you know, in these next 4 years?
Actually, a lot of it, I think, can work because it's not that different from our particular pathway of advocacy. Basically, we operate with the tools that we have. We're not really big picture thinkers, and we don't have we don't sit around coming up with overarching policy solutions to achieve our ends. We basically we take what's out there in state policy, we take what's out there in federal tax policy, we take consumer attitudes and aspirations, and we try to put that together to achieve progress, measurable progress. It's incremental, but it happens also to be working. We may be impatient about the pace of change, and we have good reason to, especially when we look at certain states that are just galloping ahead. We also think that the energy resources that we promote, which include, by the way, the responsible use of energy, using only what we need as opposed to just keeping the lights on all hours of the day when we're not in the room, that is actually a way to reach dissatisfied rural constituencies. The clean energy that's going in states like Iowa and Kansas and Illinois, they're going into the areas of the state where it's traditionally agriculture, grain farmers, ranchers, and those technologies are generating income for both the landowner and for the local governments. We have a rural economic development story to tell, and we can bring it into Wisconsin as well. Right now, the co-ops, Daryl and Power and its member co-ops, have discovered that the solar arrays are mighty popular with their customers. They're mighty popular with local contractors that are involved in the excavation work and the electrical work. And it's going out to sparsely settled areas. The same is true for wind development. Biogas as well, larger dairy farms that have a groundwater problem. Manure can be turned into a fuel that has relatively little impact on the environment. We would like our policymakers to understand that this isn't about experts from a faraway think tank telling their constituents what to do and how to think, but we actually have the tools to improve their lives and stimulate the governments and things that the governments support, like schools and libraries. We do have that kind of impact, and our message to policymakers is let us do more of that.
Michael Vickerman is Program Policy Director for Renew Wisconsin. Alex Bosmoski is Director of Strategy for Republican.org and the Energy and Enterprise Initiative. You can hear more of their conversation with Susan Bentz about renewable energy, including details on current trends in Wisconsin and other states, at WUWM.com. Vickerman and Bosmoski were in Milwaukee last week to speak at UW-Milwaukee's Institute of World Affairs.